Welcome to the show. You know what time it is. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night. This is Long Shots Radio, Prime Time Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Guy Sports Talk Radio, this is what we're about. Gambling tips, the big wagers, the biggest games. Do you want to be on the right side? Listening to the radio show, Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside, recapping what happens during the week and also what's going to happen along with future impacts and upcoming matchups. Gambling tips is what we're all about. What we look for, why is the line moving? Public versus Vegas. This is the show where it all goes down exclusively on TrendBetting.com. A sensational summer ahead of full baseball action, NBA playoffs in full swing, NHL playoffs in full swing. What a great time to be in the industry, folks. Sit back, grab a chair, grab the best cigar you have. Listen up. It's Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. It is my favorite time of the week, Long Shots Radio Prime Time Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. A lot of stuff to get into tonight, a lot of stuff that's going to be happening for the rest of August. It's a lot of fun to be in the sports wagering business at this time, no question about it. Just on the horizon, folks. Can you taste it? Sunday night, we're going to get our first look at football in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Saturday, the NFL does induct, I believe it's four or five players this year, into the Hall of Fame. Going to be a good ceremony on Saturday night, but kicking off on Sunday, those Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings kicking off. It's going to be, as I said again, a lot of fun to take a look at. If you are a wagering man and wagering on preseason football, you are a moron, number one. But, hey, number two, there is a line on the game, and it sits anywhere between -3.5 to -3 in favor of the Minnesota Vikings. So good luck on that one. In the fourth quarter, when the 19th string running back, 31st string left tackle, and 50th round pick is at quarterback, if you are a better man than me, if you can cap that situation effectively and nail those games. I stay far, far away from preseason. The only thing that I gather out of preseason is to help me out in fantasy football, see which guys look good on film, maybe even making the team. But betting on these games, folks, come on. Just sit with your boys in the living room, maybe the kitchen, crack open a couple brews, maybe a cigar or two, beverage of your choice. Put $10, $20 down on the table, start flipping quarters because you have a better shot at hitting heads or tails than you do at picking a winner in preseason football based upon any type of spread. I don't want to hear, well, you know, just bet Pete Carroll in the preseason Seattle. They always come out strong. Come on, folks. You got a month to sit on this and wait, gather that information in, and wait for the regular season to fire away. Now, you do know me. And what I like to do, it's similar to baseball. I do it in every single sport. I don't bet on games immediately right out of the box. There's a good reason I don't do that. Simple fact is, unless you're just straight up fading the public, which, hey, It's not a bad way to go those first couple weeks in the NFL. You don't really know which team is going to play well. You don't know which team is going to be ready to play, the matchups in case. So wait to get a couple games under your belt, which is what I do, before firing and putting any serious money down on any of these games. Because after week four in both sports, NCAA and also NFL, that's when we begin our season there. You have a good month of games, home and away, usually. Now, a little bit different in college football because those, you know, big boys play a lot of cupcakes and play a lot of cupcakes at home. But you want to wait primarily in college football season until each team begins their conference runs because, again, you're going to get a better feel on how to wager on those games because they're similar scholarships. What I mean by that is, you know, five-star, four-star recruits, you're back in your own element. These teams are pretty much evenly matched on the athletes that they do get, and they do get to play against each other. So I do recommend setting that one out and certainly waiting a couple weeks. But if you do have to fire away, it's not a bad thing to do early in the football season just to straight up fade the public, because there's no joke that there's more money won by Las Vegas in the month of September than any other month of the year, because most people are starting out with their bankroll. They think that's going to stretch long term. They go 0-2 the first weekend, and on Monday night they're dumping their entire bankroll in a game to see if they can get it back, and poof, just like smoke, goes right up in flames, and you get no money left the rest of the season. So not a bad thing, again, fade the public in September, but we're going to wait around to late September and early October before we put some real serious cash down and get underway. There's a lot of baseball left to go over the summer that we can, you know, go over and see exactly what's happening, what's changing. It's a real tough time to bet right now. If you see me on Twitter and Facebook, and certainly see me talking about it a lot, we're going to play it really close to the vest until these lines correct themselves. Because right now, the wagering or getting games, I like two games today early in the day. Didn't wager on either one of them. Michael Wacha versus Lorenzen, St. Louis and Cincinnati on the road. I really like Michael Wacha. The pitching matchup was in his favor. Cincinnati has a very good lineup. There's no question about it. But I was factoring in, even though St. Louis is struggling, that they're going to be able to get enough base hits off Michael Lorenzen, and Wacha versus Lorenzen facing off over the first five innings. I thought that was a nice mismatch. The only thing is, when it's on the road, the game opened up right around, we'd usually put that play in when the lineups come out around 11:30 for one of those early games. It was a 12:35 game, so I believe those lineups were out a little bit earlier, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. But taking a look at that game on its edge, gambling is about value. A lot of the times, it's not really betting team versus team. It's betting what team at what value versus another team. Now, Michael Wacha is a good pitcher. There's no question about it. Struggled a little bit lately there. But on the road, I'm not laying -160 with a road pitcher against a decent team at home. The value in that is just not there. If you look back maybe a month ago, maybe even before the trade line, before the All-Star break, you know, these teams are still similar. I mean, obviously, 69-39 for St. Louis, it's a sensational record. Cincinnati obviously is under 500, but it's still a good baseball team. It's not a real smart wager to go -150 or higher on a road team. It's hard enough to win on the road as it is. Michael Wacha is a very good pitcher, yes, but that team's banged up, and it's an early game, so a lot of the teams are out of the rhythm, not used to starting that early. Now, they're both, you know, Midwest and Eastern teams, so you're not really getting like the Dodgers starting a game at 12:35, which you might want to use that as an angle, though. But just taking that game on its head, looking at it, there's not really any value, 150 or higher, on Michael Wacha on the road. They do have to win the game, obviously. You know, you could play run line, but a lot of the times I don't recommend that unless I see just like some major, major explosion where this team's just going to roll one team, and I don't mind laying all that wood, so to speak. But in this game alone, it's not worth the value, so we passed it over. Now, it did win. You know, there's no question about it. You can't say, oh, man, I really, really wish we would have fired in that game. I think we would have done really well. Obviously, it won, but the risk is not worth the reward in that instance. Now, case in point, looking at another half hour later, that was a 12:35 start, 105 in Philadelphia. You had Zach Greinke versus David Buchanan in that game. A absolute severe mismatch. You're not going to get in baseball a pitching matchup more severe than that. So looking at the game on his head, we tweeted out, hey, I really like the Los Angeles Dodgers today. They're -270. I mean, even you think it's going to be a blowout. The Dodgers did win, but it wasn't a blowout. I believe it was 7-6 after five. I mean, Greinke got touched up in the first inning for five runs when the guys had given up five runs in like 2.5 months. But case in point on that again, -266 on a road pitcher. You just can't lay that. And even if you're laying, you know, I didn't even check to see what the run line was on that, but it had to have been, you know, I don't know. Run line usually, you know, if you're betting at minus a half, you're getting like, you know, worst case scenario, minus 135, but that still had to be around, you know, minus 185, minus 190. I mean, it's just outrageous. So yes, it did win. You would have went 2-0, but the risk doesn't out, you know, there's no reward on that end. And it looked like for a while they were going to lose. So how would you feel laying, you know, $266 or over $1,000 to win roughly, less than half of that back, and you're in struggle and you're in a dogfight on that? So, I mean, even though we would have went 2-0 earlier, the risk really wasn't worth the reward in those games. A couple other afternoon baseball games, Kansas City and Detroit, didn't really like that game, had that as a coin flip. Milwaukee and San Diego, same thing on that. I mean, ended up 10-1. Milwaukee blowing out San Diego. They're really struggling at this point. And we did have a slight lean on Detroit. They did win that game, but that was a back-and-forth game as well. It's really tough for me, and I don't usually bet afternoon games unless I see a mismatch. Now, taking a look at the game that we did fire on today, which was a 4 o'clock start. So it wasn't really early, so guys were able to, you know, I mean, they're a little bit earlier on their overall clocks, getting their workouts in, you know, film, and when, like, take batting practice and eating and just in their overall ballpark stuff. So I do lean towards the home team. Arizona is a West Coast team, so they were playing a little bit earlier. But again, 4 o'clock game, you're not really too worried about that. It's not a noon game where, you know, it's really 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever they really think they're getting to the ballpark at that time. But, you know me. I like to fire on games, and I don't fire on those until I see the overall lineups. I do like the pitching matchups. How I cap a game myself is the first thing I'm going to look at is the pitching matchup. Second matchup I'm going to look at is how well the other team hits the other guy, if they've seen him before, haven't seen him before, strikeout pitcher, fly ball pitcher, whatever it is. That's the second equation. But the very last equation, you have to get a good look at those lineups. It doesn't make any sense to cap a game and fire on a game when the very next day, let's just say you had Arizona. Boy, Washington is struggling. Hellickson's been decent. Ross is a young guy. I don't think Washington's going to score that many runs today, so I'm just going to take Arizona as a healthy dog. Well, we got that line at minus 149 right before the lineups came out. Right after the lineups came out, fired on it. I believe that settled in at minus 178. So we saved a lot of money in that game. But case in point being, again, the Arizona Diamondbacks put out a half-assed lineup today. And you have to take advantage of that when that does come up. If you look at those games, I'm going to go back to a game yesterday in just a few moments to pinpoint that as well. Ross is a very good pitcher. He was at home, young guy at home. I do like to do that. But anytime Paul Goldschmidt and also Pollock are out of the lineup, that's a really, really weak lineup, so you have to take advantage of it. They don't have an ace on the mound in Hellickson to combat that. So just on its face, you said, you know what, we're going to take two of their best hitters out. Goldschmidt might be the best hitter in entire baseball and say, I'm going to weigh my options. So after five innings, we did pick up the win 2-1. Should have been a lot worse than that. A couple umpire missed plays there, which really hurt us. But again, it just seems to never fail. We get to the fifth inning. The 6, 7, 8, and 9 batters are due up. Ross has been rolling all day long. Sultan Amaki can't hit anybody. He's just, you know, tired and old and just can't do much anymore. He leads off the fifth with a solo home run. Very next guy gets a base hit. Ross strikes the next guy out. But one of the worst-case scenarios does come up in the National League, which it can be a friend for you or a foe. Pitcher comes up and can bump that guy over automatically. So now it comes down to, again, one swing of the bat. And we haven't really had too much luck this year. One game did go our way last week in a last two-strike at bat, which was the Oakland A's, which gave us a push. But today I see it again. You know, Ender Inciarte is a very good hitter, hitting 290, speedster there. So he ducks one in. Yasmani Tomas is on second base. We might have some problems. He made solid contact on that ball, hit it right to Ian Desmond, ripped it over to first base, and we picked up a nice 5-unit winner to go 1-1 on the week. But having said that, again, you have to wait till you see those starting lineups, because the lineup, you know, Zimmerman was out for Washington today, but Arizona put a half-assed lineup in there. It was a very easy game. Even if you bet the game overall, there were some slick points that you had to watch out for. But then again, it did work out in your favor if you bet full game. I believe it was an 8-3 final where they really tacked it on in the 7th and 8th inning. But it was an easy win over the first five, even though it did come down to the last strike there. A couple runs were scored in the bottom of the 5th by the Nationals, so it really wasn't as close as it was. It was 2-1 in midway, and it ended up at 4-1 after 5. A nice, comfortable win. So it's always nice to secure that. But going back to yesterday, we fired on an early game again. Now, we've been fading, and yesterday, again, we took a push. We didn't even get a win. We went this week. It's 1-1 so far, but we've only bet in that series before today was the Los Angeles Angels 3 straight times. They just couldn't get very many base hits off of the Indians. The moment I saw Kipnis go in the DL earlier in the week, that was a nose. You know, the team is only hitting, I believe, 211 overall on the road. You're going to take Kipnis out. It's hitting over 300. And yesterday, wasn't even going to bet the game at all. And word comes down that Brantley is now out of the lineup for the Indians. So just by default, There's nobody on that team that can hit or do anything. And there we go, down 1-0 in the fourth inning. Cole Calhoun hits a solo blast to lead off the bottom of the fourth to make it 1-1. Case in point, we ended up with a push there, even though we did have a chance to pick up the win. But when those type of instances put themselves in front of you, you have to take advantage and fire on those. Again, Carrasco's a very good pitcher. Salazar's a very good pitcher. Same thing with Schumacher and also Hector Santiago, who's a young guy there. You just have to look and say, you know what, both of these pitchers, I don't really see too much between both of those, but the one lineup is much more dominant than the other one, and especially if they're a home team, you might want to lay the wood. Yesterday it was minus 120. Today it was a little bit more expensive at minus 149, but today won very, very easily. Los Angeles actually came back and pulled out the win yesterday in the bottom of the ninth. I believe it was a 4-3 final. So if you bet that game whole, you did win, but we took the push after five. But at this case in point, knowing the way I cap these games, you do have to take a look at Major League Baseball season as the season goes on. There's a lot more things to look at just because of the fact that some teams are going for it and some teams are really, really drawing back. And looking at those final lineups is a great determining factor, because if you capped Arizona, as I said again, you just wanted to play them because, you know, they're a dog and most people like to play dogs, and maybe they weren't the public favorite at that point. But the minute that Paul Goldschmidt is out, you take a severe loss in that game, because that's something that you might not overcome. If you were taking Arizona even after that, you're just a contrarian, which is okay. I mean, betting against the public or betting against, you know, a line there, especially with a team that's struggling a little bit, I can certainly see that. But there's no way that I'll be putting any money when my best, you know, best hitter in baseball, arguably, and also one of my very next best hitters in Pollock, is not in that game either. So that's the way it ended up. We're 1-1 on the week, fresh off of a 6-3 week last week. A lot of, again, interesting stuff to go over there. I do want to take a look at picking games wisely. And what I mean by that is taking the number for what it is. There's a lot of games right now that are severely overpriced. If you've been betting with me, or, you know, family, friends, and you know my philosophy there, I'm mainly in that target zone of anywhere between, you know, minus 110 to minus 150. That's where I like to be. I like to take the better team in the equation and not really look so much at the contrarian view. I want to take a little bit of value out of that. I want the better pitcher. I want the better lineup, and I want the home ballpark. Can I squeeze that all into minus 150 or less? You know, over the first 2-3 months of the season, you can find a lot of value and a lot of wagers that you can go back and forth with that on. Now, after the trading deadline, there's the haves and the have-nots, as we talked about on Monday. A lot of these teams are going for it and are much, much better than the other team. The only problem now is you are paying for it. Case in point, earlier today with the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Phillies coming out of the break were 13-3 after, I believe it was the All-Star break, or 13-3. Let's just say 13-3 after their on their last 16 games. You know, they're at home. Buchanan's not a very good pitcher. Granky's a stud, but I mean, you can't, getting plus 240 at home over the first five innings, you end up losing 7-6 in that game. But the better team, whereas maybe if it was a month ago, Zach Greinke, instead of being minus 260, might have been like minus 195, and you can play that off with the run line and get that under, you know, minus 125. But with the way baseball is right now, you have to play it real tight to the vest and pick and choose your spots, because there's not a lot of value on favorites right now. But some of these dogs, I mean, they're there for a reason. A lot of the times I sit back and say, you know, why don't I just take the two highest dogs and play them off each other and just take the split and the plus money? Because it looks like that type of information and that type of betting strategy right now might not be too, too bad. But I like to stick with what I do best, look at the numbers that I like. But again, it's hard to fire on games or put clients on games that are just too juiced out. Anything below 150 is a decent wager. And you'll see me, I'll travel up sometimes as high as 160 or 170 and hopefully those games do win out, because I don't really believe too much in run lines unless I'm getting that run and, like, you know, plus a half of a run, minus 145. I don't mind that, but I'm not going to take a minus run line and still play juice on that, because at the end of five innings, if you're tied or losing, that's a wrap. And it's a hard one to swallow when the game is 3-3. After five innings, you end up taking a loss when the team pushed there. So coming down the stretch, you're going to want to certainly, again, take a look at those overall numbers, because sometimes in baseball, it's not betting the team. It's betting the actual number and what the value has. So even though to get Bonds, boy, man, this is a severe mismatch. You might want to look at that other side getting plus 150 or 160 and see exactly the reason why that team might be able to pull out a victory or certainly pull together over the first five. I did take a look, and I certainly have strategies in place there that you take the full game minus one, you know, banking on the starting pitcher along with the bullpen itself. But I don't really want to do that, but sometimes it might force my hand because today, again, you're looking at this card. I really only liked one game, and that was after a lineup came out, and I saw one team was severely weakened after they took their two best hitters out of the lineup altogether. So right now, again, taking a look at these numbers heading down in August, make sure you're getting the best value for your dollar. Favorites right now aren't very, very valuable. Hopefully that market will stabilize itself over the next week, week and a half, and these lines won't be so outrageous and so out of play, and we can get back to business and doing what we do, firing on these games. But as I said, again, we'll play close to the vest, 6-3 last week, 1-1 this week. Let's pick up a couple more W's over the weekend and certainly put a yet another winning week in the books. I truly believe that is going to happen. But once again, folks, right now betting Major League Baseball is a crazy, crazy time. Take the value where you can get it. You know, if you're looking at playing some dogs out there, which again, I don't play too many of those, but now is the time that you probably want to take a look at playing some dogs. Folks, welcome to the show again. This is RightsideValuePlays.com, myself, Donnie Rightside, but this is my home at TrendBetting.com. Trend betting is exactly why I do this radio show, and going over that with Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition tonight on Thursdays, and also one of my favorite times to do a show is Monday at noon so we can recap the weekend. Tell you a little bit about the show here. I tell you every week, there's a lot of new listeners that come on board. What is the show about? It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. Eventually, we want to get the show to be at least 5 days a week, maybe an hour a day, to go over topics, take phone calls, take call-ins, make it a lot more interactive show. You know what I like to wager on. We talk a lot of NCAA football, basketball, NFL, fantasy football talk. Once that gets underway, we'll have guests on also there. Recapping what happens during the week is very important, so you can apply that to future impact and certainly on upcoming matchups. Gambling tips is what we do on the show, what we look for, why is that line moving, and certainly during NFL season, public versus Vegas. About myself, folks, I've been in this game over 20 years as a professional gambler, online selling wagers for 3 years with my site, Right Side Value Plays, and also my home at trendbetting.com. We take the 401k approach, as you see right now. It's not a lot of wagers. You know, we're not going to give you 7, 8, 9 games a day in baseball. You know, today we've only had one game, each of the past couple days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And if we sit 1-1 with two pushes on the week in football, you're not really going to see more than 5 plays total per week. That number does go up a little bit late in October once we start getting into some action and getting those football games, you know, Monday Night Football Monday, Maction Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, of course, you have a Thursday Night Football game, pro and also college, and then you head right into the weekend. So it's almost 7 days a week that you get football heading up into the season. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But I do like to take that 401k approach where less is more. Just think of it as an asset there. You're not going to want the guy who manages your 401k to blow it all on one stock in one day. Let's take that long-term approach, whereas if you don't have a game that you like that day, live to fight another day. Don't bet day-to-day or season-to-season. Bet it as a lifetime. If you take that perspective there, it's going to help you out much, much more. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at RightsideVP. And also my promotional account with TrendBetting.com is at Donnie Rightside. Follow me on Facebook at Donnie Rightside. Also, just look that name up. I love to go back and forth, go over some tips, you know, take it all in. Gambling is fun. It's meant to be fun. It's very stressful. But if you can put some dollars in your pocket along the way, it's a certainly much more fun proposition than taking losses week after week after week. As you know, we've won 7 of the last 8 weeks, so hopefully make it 8 of 9 this week. Feel real confident about a couple matchups, which we're going to take a look at a little bit later in the show for tomorrow, a couple big, big-time pitching matchups. Folks, once again, if you haven't checked out the website, go to trendbetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. Something is there for everybody on the website. It's a very easy, laid-out site to look at. Just click on that little light bulb in the right-hand corner of the screen. Everybody's there, pops up there, all the headshots. As you know me, I'm the best-looking one on that website, so don't hesitate to click on that packages combo there. Prices are cheap and affordable. If you like MMA, golf, soccer, basketball, hockey, whatever it is you name it, somebody at trendbetting.com is going to be that professional that can fit your needs and fill up and build your bankroll the right way. Just to give you a little bit of backtracking on that, I met up with Lance about 3 years ago. The vision was always the same, winning with integrity and losing with integrity. You're not going to get double-sided plays coming out of trendbetting.com. What you see is what you get. You'll see us. We tell you when we win, but we also tell you when you lose. It's very important to trust your handicapper and also your professional, because if you're laying your hard-earned dollars on the line, you don't want to see anybody playing games with that, and that's not what we're about at trendbetting.com. So once again, folks, join the team at trendbetting.com. Prices will be cheap and affordable, and we're always there to help you out. Folks, got about 20 minutes left in the show. We're going to take a quick break, take a look at some Major League Baseball action for tomorrow, and dip into a little bit of college football and also NFL football. Folks, this is Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, Donnie Wrightside from Long Shots Radio. Struggling with your picks out there, filling your bankroll up, a little bit of a struggle for you? Put the experts at trendbetting.com to work for you. Go to trendbetting.com. It's a full-service site. Click on the experts tabs. Everything is there for what you need to build that bankroll the right way. NCAA basketball and football, National Football League, NBA, NHL, MMA, mixed martial arts. We have every single thing that you need. Once again, folks, go to trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, Frank Buzz, and the Saffinator, along with myself, Donnie Wrightside, experts in the industry. Put them to work for you. Trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. You can get in for as cheap as $249 a month. Specials going on all the time. Once again, folks, trendbetting.com for all your needs in the business. Trust me, Donnie Wrightside, when I say we're going to put you on the right side at trendbetting.com. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on trendbetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years. And have found a great home here at trendbetting.com. Once again, go to the website, trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, trendbetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Folks, welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside, just sitting back here with the TVs in front of me watching this abomination of a pitching matchup between Atlanta and the Miami Marlins, 5-4 right now. Both these, I don't know, Urena and Whistler. I mean, I think Urena's even out of the game already. I mean, they torched him early, I believe, for 5 runs over 2 innings, and Whistler not doing too much better as this game is 5-4 only in the 4th inning. But we don't have to worry about this game or any other games tonight. And why is that? We won already. Makes it a lot easier when you're 1-0 doing a radio show, up a couple units on the day. Clients are happy. We head into the weekend. We look to keep that surge going and make it 8 out of 9 winning weeks here in Major League Baseball. Folks, one of my favorite times. This is what I like to do best. Haven't capped any games tomorrow yet. Looked at a couple quick pitching matchups, which I want to go over with you. But I do like to get that fresh look and appeal for tomorrow, because tomorrow is one of those days where I like to say aces are going to be wild. Starting with an early game tomorrow at Wrigley Field, San Francisco and the Chicago Cubs, Vogelsong versus Lester. On first look there, that is a mismatch. But you know me with gambling, and you know me with what I like to take a look at. I'm not taking a game with John Lester in it. Simple, simple fact. If you can't throw to bases, I can't bet on you. He's a great pitcher. If the guy had a pickoff move and threw the ball to any one of the bases, he would legitimately be a threat and a major, major terror coming down the stretch and into the playoffs. But I do not gamble on John Lester games, because he legitimately can dominate a game, or they can just run wild. If Billy Hamilton plays, or if they play the Cincinnati Reds, Hamilton just, you know, walks the first base. He might as well just run the third without anything happening, because he's going to end up there. So that's one of those games we will not be taking a look at. Los Angeles Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow, maybe the best pitching matchup of the day. Clayton Kershaw versus Garrett Cole. You know, L.A. opened up obviously as a favorite between, 130 to 135, and rightfully so. Anytime you got Clayton Kershaw on the mound, you do have to take a look at that. But Garrett Cole, on the other hand, overall ERA on the season is 2.36, and Kershaw is 2.37. So we have a pretty good one to look at, and I love that Pittsburgh lineup. Love them at home. So that's going to be one that we're going to definitely take a look at tomorrow and see if we can maybe steal a dog there. But that's one of those instances there where you might want to take that half of a run and just sit on it over the first 5 innings and not pay too much juice on it, because that game very well likely could end up at 0-0. But if Pittsburgh somehow can scratch out a run early, you know, you might be able to get that 1-0 or even 1-0 push winner on that with the half runs. That's one we're definitely going to take a look at. Tomorrow, it's one of my boys on the mound, Jorge De La Rosa. I like to fade both Ruby and him. Can't stand the way either one of those guys pitches versus Washington with Jordan Zimmermann on the mound. Going to be interesting to see what type of lineups are put out in that instance, because Colorado, regardless, can hit the baseball. There's no question about it. But you might get Washington over those first 5 innings at 150 or less, so we'll take a good look at that. Jose Fernandez versus Julio Teheran tomorrow. Obviously, people are going to be in Miami's corner. It's going to be an interesting game to take a look at, and I want to get a look at those splits of how Jose does on the road, obviously, versus home. But Teheran, we've won a lot of money this year going against him, so it might not be another bad instance, depending on the lineup that Miami puts out of the box, and see what we can do there. The pitching mismatch tomorrow, St. Louis versus Milwaukee, Lance Lynn versus Cravey. Cravey, I mean, he is 0-2, but does have a good ERA, 2.77. We'll see if that can hold up there. Looks like probably St. Louis is going to open up between that 150 and minus 145, depending on what book you have. Tomorrow, Cincinnati and Arizona. Raisel Iglesias versus Anderson. Might want to, your boy's going to be back in the lineup, Paul Goldschmidt. So anytime they get a home game there, but you want to take a look at that Cincinnati lineup and who they put out there, because I do like when that lineup goes full boat out there. It is a pretty good one, especially with Hamilton in that 9-hole, followed up by Phillips and Votto as well as Frazier. And you got a little bit more pop down in that lineup, depending on who they put in there, but usually it's Marlon Byrd in that position. So definitely one to take a look at. Philadelphia getting some good money tomorrow at plus 145 with Aaron Nola on the mound. San Diego running out big game James Shields. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know every time James Shields pitches there, I don't know, has he even won a game, it feels like, in the last 3 years? I mean, he is 8-4 overall. The team's 11-12 in its starts. He's lost 3 straight starts, but it just seems every time I look at James Shields, he's just taking the loss and down 3-0 after the first inning. So I do joke around with that name. Tomorrow, no line set up yet. Early with Boston and Detroit, with Kelly and Norris set to be the starters. Norris had a pretty good time out last time around. Joe Kelly, just your normal run-of-the-mill pitcher, 6-11, 17 starts. For Boston, the team is 6-11 overall. He's 3-6, but the team is 6-11. So Detroit might not be a bad wager, depending on what they put out there as a lot of Toronto and the Yankees. By rule of thumb, we will not be capping that game. It does have a knuckleball in there with R.A. Dickey. Now, last night, if you remember, I almost fired on the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees game. The one reason why I didn't, they had a knuckleballer on the mound. I really like this young kid that was brought up yesterday, dominating the minor leagues. I believe his ERA was somewhere maybe even south of 1.5. truly dominant. Kid came up and pitched well. One error, brought in an unearned run early, made one bad pitch on a solo blast to David Ortiz. But outside of that, he was very, very good, but they couldn't hit the knuckleballer. You know, it looks like the Yankees put up damn near 15 runs a game, and you throw a knuckleballer out there, you never know what you're going to get. So by rule of thumb, I do not take games with a knuckleballer, regardless of who is on the mound or what team is on the mound opposite. Because if you look at Eovaldi tomorrow, he's 11-2 overall. Team is 14-7. Now, he gets some great run support because the ERA is close to 4.5. But again, why take a knuckleballer? You could blow them out in the first inning, or they can go 8 innings and you get one hit off them. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just stay away from it. You end up losing more money than you make because it's hard to cap a knuckleballer depending on if they're all on or off. Minnesota Twins, Cleveland Indians tomorrow, Pelfrey versus Anderson. This is a close game to take a look at. Cleveland, obviously, without Kipnis, you expect Brantley to be back in the lineup again. Minnesota can hit much, much better than Cleveland. Anderson was a really, really good pitcher at home but got tattooed a little bit. I believe it was in his last start at home, which I was on that game, and obviously took the loss on that. Since Chicago White Sox versus the Kansas City Royals, Danks versus Volquez. It's hard to back up Jordan Danks with your money. Volquez, you know, not too much better, but if that price hopefully hovers around that 150 range, Kansas City might not be too bad of a play to take a look at overall. Baltimore tomorrow and the Los Angeles Angels. You have Gausman, who had a very good start in his last time out, which we had him, and we're on the right side of that equation, versus Andrew Heaney, who's been fantastic. We had him a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday and picked up a winner there as well. 5-1 is his win-loss record. 6-1 is the team's overall record. His ERA is below 2, folks. So sensational start for the young guy. Looks like they have a bright future in this league. One of the games I really want to watch, even if I'm not betting on it tomorrow, these next three games. Houston and Oakland, Dallas Keuchel versus Sonny Gray. That line is basically a pick'em right now. Run's going to be tough to come by in that game. Gray usually is phenomenal at home, and Dallas Keuchel, folks, is Dallas Keuchel. I know he struggled a little bit lately there, but both of their whips are below 1. ERA is close to 2. It's going to be a fun matchup to look at. Texas brings those bats on the road to Seattle tomorrow. Cole Hamels versus Iwakuma, another sensational matchup there. We'll see what Cole Hamels is going to be pitching in a big ballpark. The bats, to me, much, much better on the Texas side than the Seattle side. So I would lean Hamels, but again, you want to take a look at those splits. Seattle doesn't get to see him that much, which could help you out, as well as Texas has seen Iwakuma, obviously, a couple of times with him being a veteran right-hander in the American League. Last matchup we'll take a look at tomorrow, another really, really good one. Jacob deGrom and the New York Mets travel down to Tampa Bay to take on Jake Odorizzi and the Rays. Both of those guys with ERAs in the 2s. Odorizzi obviously is closer to 3. DeGrom is closer than 2. And the New York Metropolitans are on a hot streak. They're playing very good baseball with an absolutely major league lineup as opposed to that, you know, single A lineup they had about a month ago. So the tide is turning. Big win by the Nationals today to at least stay in the race with the Mets at this point, because they're really slipping and slipping hard there. So it's going to be a very, very good Major League Baseball card tomorrow, no question about it. Folks, we're going to take one quick break. We're going to come back, take a look at a little bit of college football, and we'll wrap up the show as well. It's been a lot of fun tonight talking over information. Hang with us just a little bit more. Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years. And have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. just wanted to let you know the team at trendbetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on trendbetting.com, go to the experts tabs, a team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at trendbetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable, NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football, it's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at trendbetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at trendbetting.com. Hey, folks, welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. A couple minutes left in the show, no better time to take a look. I know the NFL is starting up in a couple of days, you know, training camps are underway. College football is just starting to get underway, but I did want to spend a little bit of time looking at college football as opposed to the NFL and taking a look at what our gambling procedures are, as we like to say, and what we like to do during the college football season. Again, folks, we're not going to have a single wager that we put out or release as a premium play until the fourth week of college football season, which usually ends up in the 20s in September. We like to sit back, take a look at these games, and factor a few equations in of how we see the teams are coming along, how the teams are playing. I don't like to just jump in. And the reason I don't do that is because a lot of the times, you know, I like the cupcake divisions. What I mean by that is the Sun Belt, Conference USA. I like the lower tiers, Mountain West. That's what I make my money on. That's where I got my bones dug, no question about it. So if you're taking a look and wagering on games, it's really hard for me to factor in and see what is what. You know, of course, like let's just say looking ahead to college football in the first games, North Carolina, South Carolina. Love it. Love it when the game comes on. 6 p.m. Thursday, September 3rd. I'm going to be tuned in. It's going to be fantastic. I don't know how those two teams are going to play. I mean, I can read all about them. I can take a look at how they played last year, see how they match up, and just say, oh, SEC versus ACC. You got to lean SEC, which is what most people are going to do. 66% of the wagers are on South Carolina. Line opened up at 3. It still sits at 3. So fading the public, again, not so bad of an option. Carolina does come back with a couple really good weapons there on offense and certainly can move the football. There's no question about it. South Carolina did lose some talent and looking to replace a quarterback, which is always tough, especially on an in-state huge rivalry game opening day, especially when you are on the road. But again, getting back to my case in point there, I don't know how you're going to open up. And a lot of these teams, the bigger teams, you know, let's just take a look. Kent State is playing Illinois. You know, you're looking at that MAC team going to a Big Ten team. They're getting 15.5 points. I mean, it's all fine and great, but it's a mismatch. There's no question about it. You know, Boise State, Washington State, usually that will be a mismatch. But Boise State is getting 10.5 because they probably should roll Washington and bring back a lot of weapons there. I know they lost Hedrick and Ajayi, running back and the quarterback there, but they always just replace and reload and have a lot of weapons and certainly and bringing back a lot of players on defense. But again, you don't really know what's going to happen in that game. You don't know the cupcakes, how they're going to play against the big boys, if the big boys are going to take the foot off the gas. Once you get these guys back in the division, you know, Oklahoma State, Central Michigan. Okay. I mean, I love Central Michigan. They're at home. They're getting 22.5. Central Michigan is a decent football team, but you don't know how they're going to react playing an Oklahoma State team. So Oklahoma State just going to line up with their five uglies on the offensive line and just bulldoze them over because the MAC doesn't play very much defense. There's no question about it. So I like to just sit back, take it all in, and enjoy football for what it is because we're still going to be wagering on baseball in September and obviously August. There's no question about that. But heading in there, I do advise just take a couple weeks off, even if it's the first 2 weeks. Get a feel for what these teams are. Those lines will settle in, and you get a better feel of how to wager. At this point right now, I would just be fading the public and just, you know, that's the best way to go in college football. Taking a look at those power teams, Ohio State, Alabama, Baylor, Auburn, TCU. Man, TCU is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year, folks. I mean, if there's a couple games that you want to look at, you know, the way they finished up last year and arguably should have been in that Final Four but just got left out, you know, Baylor even got left out of that game for some reason. Can't remember exactly what that status was there. But those are going to be some really, really fun teams to watch, especially TCU, USC, Michigan State, Oregon, Florida State, Georgia rounding at the top 10. Georgia's going to be reloading. They have a very good offensive line coming back with Nick Chubb at running back. Those are going to be some certain teams to look at. As the weeks go coming, you know, we're going to still obviously talk baseball, but they're going to be primarily football shows. You know, we'll go over the ACC previews, MAC previews, Conference USA previews, Sun Belt previews. That's the football that I like to wager on. I certainly find the most out of those spreads and can certainly find a lot of value in those as opposed to betting the Ohio States versus the Texases on a Saturday night, which those lines are pretty hard and locked into place. So over the next couple months there, up to August and September, we're going to take a look at some games. Obviously, we won't be wagering on them, but can certainly give our thoughts. Folks, once again, it's been a lot of fun doing the show tonight on Long Shots Radio Thursday Primetime Edition with myself, your host, Donnie Wrightside. We'll catch you this weekend and catch up with you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Check out trendbetting.com. And, folks, we will see you on the right side.